the Bible. It's the Word of God, sharper than any two-edged sword. This sacred book is living and active and contains all that's needed for life and godliness. Stay with American Family Radio for the next hour as we study God's Word and take your Bible questions. Welcome to Exploring the Word.
You know, if you were talking about some of the most well-known people in all the Bible, certainly one of the most famous figures that we meet in the New Testament, you would find a very well-known biblical figure in Matthew chapter 3. And we'll tell you who that is, and we'll meet this very important biblical person in Matthew 3 in just a moment. But I want to welcome you to the program, Exploring the Word. Alex McFarland here, along with Bert Harper. And as we get into the pages of God's Word, I want to talk about God's Word as in the Truth for Youth Bibles. As you all may know, I was a youth pastor for 11 years, and then even though we've been doing conferences for all ages, we do camps, we do events, a lot for youth, Bert, teenagers, high schoolers, college students. It thrills my heart whenever I see a young person reading God's Word. And what we're doing, and I want you to be a part of it, please listen in if you would. The Truth for Youth Bible is a Bible that kids will read. It's got a very colorful cover. It's got the gospel message in comic book form inside the covers. So there's the scripture, but there's also graphic novels. And what we're trying to do is put 65,000 Truth for Youth Bibles in the hands of young people this week. And that can happen. You can be a part of it. And we would invite you to do so. Because, Bert, when people have the Word of God and they hear the gospel, it changes lives. And we rejoice when young lives are brought into a relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ.
As you were saying that, I could not help but think of Timothy, who knew the Holy Scriptures early because his grandmother Lois, his mother Eunice, had implanted the Word of God in him. So when Paul came along, he was ready to follow him. Didn't have to wait long. He was ready. So we want our young people to be ready, those that give out these New Testaments, but also those who receive them. So what Revival Fires International does, they have these already printed. They're ready. And if one of your young people who lives in your home between 13 and 18 is ready to give one of these New Testaments to a friend there at school, it is free. And all you have to do is go to this online. Here it is, tfy.org, tfy.org. Or you can call this number up to 430-800-733-4737, 800-733-4737. Now, if there are people who are interested in maybe purchasing these for a class to give out or something, whatever you want to do for an evangelistic meeting, whatever you would like, you can order those in bulk, $2 a piece. Now, I want to tell you, very few things you get for $2 anymore, but these are not because it's cheap, but because people have already given this money, making it available to those young people. So be a part of this Truth for Youth Bible Week this week, August the 3rd through the 7th. Tomorrow's the 7th. So this is the time to make that call, to make that order at tfy.org, or go on or call at 800-733-4737.
Bert, I want to read a statement from Tim Wildman, the president of the American Family Association. This is really good. Tim Wildman said this, quote, "As we celebrate America's 250th birthday, America needs to return to the old paths where the good way is and walk in it so we can find peace for the soul of our nation." Now, that's a quote from Jeremiah 6:16. Tim Wildman goes on and he says, "America's young people don't need the liberal, political, woke lies so prevalent in our schools. They need Jesus and the truth of God's Word, and you can make a difference by helping American Family Association and Revival Fires International distribute the Truth for Youth Bibles to thousands of precious young people across America." And for 26 years, AFA has been doing this. I know because, look, we give these out at our camps and our events throughout the year. I'm just telling you, would you like to see young people read the Bible? They read the Truth for Youth Bibles. We'll have them next month at our camp in Pennsylvania, the last camp of this summer. But 65,000 Bibles. And Bert, as far as I know, we're about halfway there. Everybody listening to this right now could seal the deal. And I mean, there are enough people listening right now that if everybody would underwrite one Bible or two Bibles, it would be well over 65,000. I know that. So would you do that, folks? You know, Bert, when I was a brand new believer, there was a song I learned called Sing Them Over Again to Me, Wonderful Words of Life, words of faith and beauty, teaching us love and duty, teaching us about Jesus. Well, those wonderful words of life, as the song says, that's the gospel in the Bible. And few things would stir my heart as much as putting God's word in the hands of America's youth. So, Bert, tell people again how they can do that and participate in the Truth for Youth Bible distribution.
Now, let me just share with you. Brent, go ahead and tell them how they can do it. If they forget that what I tell them, they'll remember this.
In the podcast, I'll put a link in the content section of that, and you'll be able to click on that link, and it'll take you directly to Truth for Youth.
Okay. And if you don't do that, it is tfy.org or call 800-733-4737. And as Alex said, do it now.
Amen. Well, we are in Matthew 3. We're teaching. And if you're new to this program, what we do, we just read and comment on the Bible. And Bert and I have had the privilege of going through the entire Bible a couple of times in 16 years, but we're in the New Testament Gospel of Matthew. Let me read these words. And Bert, they're familiar words. I feel like I've heard these my whole life. But it says, in those days, John the Baptist came preaching in the wilderness of Judea and saying, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. For this is he who was spoken of by the prophet Isaiah, saying, the voice of one crying in the wilderness, prepare the way of the Lord, make his paths straight. Bert, in verse 2 there, the kingdom of heaven. And really, you'll see these synonymously, the kingdom of God, the kingdom of heaven. Although to Jewish audiences, Matthew kind of uses the kingdom of heaven. But this is unique. Bert, earlier today I was on a Zoom call with one of the world's preeminent Bible scholars, Gary Habermas. And he says, you know, that there had been lots of religious leaders. But along came Jesus and the disciples talking about the kingdom of heaven is coming. God's kingdom and the king are coming. And Habermas and others have said this is an utterly unique message. And this is part of John the Baptist's message. The kingdom of heaven is upon us. Prepare for the king. And John will introduce that king, King Jesus. But very, very historically significant, isn't it?
It really is. And if you want to know more of the story, you can go to Luke's gospel and find out the conception. It was miraculous. John being born to Elizabeth and Zechariah, it was something amazing. And here he comes preaching. Now, one more thing. There's 30 years between chapter 2 and chapter 3 in Matthew. He comes and he brings in, because now he's covered the birth of Jesus and talked about the wise men in the first year or so he did this. But here in chapter 3, he introduces what his people have known as the forerunner. And again, as you said, Alex, this is his message. Another one is the wilderness. He was in the rural area preaching of Judea. Now, again, his message would get to Jerusalem. It would get to those, but it was people that would come out to hear him. And that's his, I would say, genre is in that area. Now, his message was strong, but again, it was unique. They had not had a prophet from God in 400 years. And so now that John the Baptist is here, they're hearing him. Now, who do I mean they? the sinners, the publicans, yes, the common people, not those that have the hierarchy, because they think they don't need a Savior. They think they're good enough. But here, notice its words, and again, Matthew does this in verse 3. He goes back to the Old Testament. He does this again and again, and I know I'm doing this overboard probably because he has a target group. Now, he wants everybody to hear, but he has a target group of the Jewish population. When they would read Matthew, they would see that this is the Anointed One, the Messiah, the Christ. And he says in verse 3, spoken of by the prophet Isaiah. Now, Alex, let me see. If we were rating all the prophets in the Old Testament, all of them are significant, but because of, I would say, quantity, I hate to use the word quality, but mm-hmm. I'm going to go ahead and do it because Isaiah is so, so beautiful and written in such a manner. Isaiah, they go back to him and he said, I want to tell you what the prophet, the biggest prophet, the greatest prophet had to say. And he said this, the voice of one crying in the wilderness. Now listen to this, prepare the way of the Lord, make his path straight. Connect verse 1, preaching in the wilderness, verse 3 of the prophetic voice of Isaiah, the voice of one crying in the wilderness, prepare the way of the Lord, make his path straight. Matthew, does an awesome job? Here it is again, Old Testament, New Testament connection, Alex.
Well, you know what's fascinating to me, and I mean, I know we have to keep going here, but in verse 2, you know, John the Baptist is crying out in the wilderness, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Now, that is a verbatim quote from Daniel 2:44. And Daniel 2:44 talks about at some future point in a time of certain kings, God will set up a kingdom of heaven on earth, a kingdom that will never be destroyed. And what's interesting is later on in Daniel 2, verse 48, it speaks of Daniel who had been made ruler over the wise men of Babylon. Now, we saw the wise men in chapter 2 of Matthew. Now, here in Matthew 3, there's yet another reference to the Old Testament book of Daniel, not Daniel 2:48, but Daniel 2:44. And so, you know, from our human perspective, you might think, well, Christ lived 2,000 years ago. John the Baptist ministered 2,000 years ago. Here it is now, the 21st century. There was Christ's first coming, virgin-born, sinless life, miraculous, prophesied first coming. He paid for sins. Right now, Bert, even though it's been 1,900-plus years, we are in a little itty-bitty divine timeout called the church age, you know? And there's coming back, and I know you've coached. We've all watched many basketball games. I like college basketball really better than NBA basketball. And, you know, it'll get down to where, you know, there's a timeout with 7 seconds left on the clock, and a lot can happen. Games are won and lost once the buzzer sounds, play resumes. Well, there's going to be 7 more seconds on the clock, or I should say 7 years, the tribulation, and after that, the kingdom of heaven will be ushered in.
He is coming, and listen to this. John the Baptist, he acted like, preached like, dressed like an Old Testament prophet himself. We're going to find out who that is right after the break.
Right now, more mothers need that moment of hope. Just $28 sponsors one ultrasound, and $140 helps rescue 5 babies. Your generous, tax-deductible gift also helps provide mothers who choose life with loving support and care for up to 2 years. Please don't wait. Help surround mothers and babies with compassion, truth, and hope today. To donate, dial #250 and say the keyword baby. That's #250baby, or visit preborn.com/Bert Harper. That's preborn.com/Bert Harper.
For my hope is in you, you're my joy.
Welcome back to Exploring the Word. Bert and Alex here. We're in Matthew chapter 3. And I'm just going to start reading verses 4, 5, and 6 and see if it sounds like someone possibly in the Old Testament. And John himself was clothed in camel's hair with a leather belt around his waist, and his food was locusts and wild honey. Then Jerusalem and all Judea and all the region around the Jordan went out to him and were baptized by him in the Jordan, confessing their sins. Now this is John the Baptist, and he's preaching, but his clothing and I'd say his attire and his diet sounds like somebody possibly from the Old Testament, Alex. Have you ever heard anybody dressing and eating like this?
It kind of reminds me of Elijah. What do you think?
I believe it does. And here it is. And one like unto Elijah has come. Yes. And we heard that in Malachi, and we see it now. And I love these, the words, John himself. In other words, we're talking about he's the son of a priest, okay? He has a lot of credentials, but he was different. He went on a different path, but this path was one that people were drawn to, Alex. I think two reasons, and I want you to see if you agree. One is his message, because they hadn't heard anything like this from God in 400 years, and they knew it. And I would also say the uniqueness in him being like Elijah. I can just hear, you need to go hear this guy. He if you hear him and see him, it'll make you think of Elijah. And man, I can see people going and hearing, and when they hear it, they respond. And Alex, it's like a revival.
Yeah, you know what's interesting is in Luke 1:17, it says that he came, quote, in the spirit and power of Elijah. Now, it wasn't Elijah. He was a lot like Elijah. And I think we're going to get over there in Matthew chapter 17, where Christ is going to comment on this. People are going to ask if it was Elijah. And Jesus says, no, but he was like Elijah if you would receive it. Have you ever heard somebody say, you know, my goodness, he can preach, but he's a real Billy Graham.
Yeah.
You know, it's a comparison, you know.
Right.
Or somebody has the eloquence of Spurgeon, you know, to name a couple of names from our time. But John the Baptist was specially raised up, and you mentioned Luke, and oh my goodness, how I love the Gospel of Luke, that Zacharias and Elizabeth were elderly, and yet God gave them a son, John the Baptist. And then, of course, Elizabeth's cousin, Mary, the virgin, carried the baby Jesus. And, you know, it's been said that never in history did two expectant mothers have as much to talk about, perhaps, as Elizabeth and Mary.
I would say so. One was too old, and the other one, quote, was too young. You know what I'm
well,
joking.
Yeah,
you know
yeah.
what I mean?
Yeah. Exactly. Now, let me just tell you about John the Baptist's preaching style. He was direct, to say the least. Everybody comes out, and verse 6, they were baptized by him in the Jordan, confessing their sins. Praise God. Verse 7, but when he saw many of the Pharisees and Sadducees coming to his baptism, okay, so the religious hierarchy, the whole town is coming out to hear this man having his open-air meetings, right? John the Baptist says, verse 7, brood of vipers, who warned you to flee from the wrath to come? Therefore bear fruits worthy of repentance. And do not think to say to yourselves, we have Abraham as our father. For I say to you that God is able to raise up children of Abraham from these stones on the ground. So he calls them, listen, you den of rattlesnakes. Now,
a pit. I think of a pit. Look down in it, and they're just, if you've ever seen that, you see them crawling over each other and all the things that's going on.
So I got to say this. I'll throw it back to you. They're coming out to hear him. Now, everybody's coming to walk down in the water and get baptized. He says, who warned you to flee from the wrath to come? Well, they weren't there to repent and flee wrath, were they, Bert?
They were not. They were there to find judgment. They, here it is, same thing with Jesus. They saw their power and influence being diverted from them as, quote, spiritual leaders to someone else. Here it is, jealousy. Here it is, fear dominating them, and it caused so much, they were blind to the truth of them confessing their sins. We're perfect in all that. We don't need to do that. That's for those others, not for us. And so here they are. That's their attitude. And this kind of spiritual pride brings blindness, Alex. Now, who blinds the minds of people? Spiritually, Satan himself. So here's these. No wonder, unless I did that on purpose, go back to what he called them. You pit of what? Snakes or serpents. And another place, Jesus would say, your father is not Abraham. It's not God. It is the devil himself. John the Baptist was the first one to put that out there, and Jesus agreed with him, or he agreed with Jesus, whichever way you want to say it. And I love this. We have Abraham as our father. That's what they always said. What they said, we the law in Abraham. And it says, I love, God is able to raise up children of Abraham from these stones if he wants to.
Yeah.
John knew God was a, he met, now I think this is connection too. He made Adam of the dirt or the dust of the ground. Guess what he could do with the stones of the ground?
Children of Abraham.
Amen.
And you think about this, anyone that's a child of Abraham, in other words, Romans 4 tells us, saved by faith. Part of the redemption covenant by faith, not works. Abraham believed God, and it was accounted to him righteousness. So anyone that's really converted, it's a work of God, not just your family lineage or a work of man. The other thing is, he's kind of saying, hey, don't be so impressed with yourself. You're about like a rock on the ground, and God could, you think you're special because you're of the lineage of Abraham, God could raise up true children of Abraham from the rocks off the ground. And indeed, God could do that. And so they are told this in verse 10, even now the axe is laid to the root of the trees. Now, Romans talks about Israel is this vine, and we Gentiles are the branches grafted in. Now, don't confuse that with Jesus, who is the true vine, the vine of life. But we're talking about people that have a relationship with God. And so the Israelites, and Bert, let me just preface this by saying, you and I, folks, you'll never hear two men that love Israel more and have more respect. Yeah. And we categorically condemn anti-Semitism. So this is not that. But here's the point. They had lost the heart love of God, the Creator and Savior. And by this point, it was a religious system selling, you know, disabled, unfit sacrifices for money. It was a cash machine. That's what religion had become. And so John the Baptist says, look, don't say Abraham's your father. Don't be boastful. Even now is the axe laid to the root of the trees. Therefore, every tree which does not bear good fruit is cut down, thrown into the fire. So he is warning them, and I think this would be amplified by Christ when he was on his way to the cross. Jesus said, Jerusalem, Jerusalem, you who stone the prophets, you kill those I sent to you, your house is left desolate. I'm abbreviating the full quote. But their rejection of the Messiah would sort of typify the fact that for years their heart had grown cold against God.
And John knows this. He's preaching this. And like you say, you don't have to go away from John's preaching and say, what was he really saying? It was plain what he is saying. You know, no minced words. He proclaimed it. And then he goes on what he's going to do with Israel. But notice this, I indeed baptize you with water unto repentance. That's his message, repentance and the kingdom of heaven. That's his message. Make his path straight. I'm the forerunner. I'm preparing. But he who is coming after me is mightier than I, whose sandals I am not worthy to carry. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and then and fire. And again, this fire, some have that and some don't. We was talking about the manuscripts the other day, Alex, you know. But here it is, and I think it's just for both. His winnowing fan is at his hand, is in his hand, and he will thoroughly purge his threshing floor, gather his wheat into the barn, but he will burn up the chaff with unquenchable fire. Here it is. We have this picture again and again. The wheat and the tares, the sheep and the goats, those that are righteous, those that are unrighteous. And Jesus, this fire is separation. The Holy Spirit's going to come. And listen, on the day of Pentecost, the Holy Spirit fell in power upon the church. And it would never be the same, not those. We have God in us, the hope of glory. But here in verse 12, I think it does expand this idea of judgment. It started the axe being laid at the root of the trees, and then he finishes it up in verse 12 saying how severe in purging it's going to be of those that do believe and those that don't, Alex.
Mm. Well, the winnowing fan, that reminds me of like in the threshing floor where you've got the wheat and the chaff, the meat, or it's actually called nut meat, and then the husk. And they would wave these fans. And even to this day, Bert, I've been to some grain mills, and, you know, it can get very dusty as they blow away the husks. And they've got the actual meat of the nut there that stays. Well, there is a threshing that's going to take place. Now, what's really amazing is in 13 through 17, they're very famously the baptism of Jesus, who is God incarnate, the perfect, sinless Son of God. And up there in verse 7, the religious elite, they would not have lowered themselves to be baptized by this wilderness prophet, John the Baptist. And yet the Son of God comes, and Jesus came from Galilee to John at the Jordan to be baptized by him. And I think the most surprised figure of all probably was John the Baptist himself.
I agree. He even tried to talk him out of it, you know?
And says, I'm not worthy to do this.
I am not worthy to do this. Now, why did he do it? Two reasons I know for sure, Alex. One is verifying John's ministry, okay? The second, I know he was entering his public ministry. It marked that as he identified with man. So much here is in the baptism, and we want to get to this so much. And as he was being baptized, and we can come back and talk about it even more later if we have to, Jesus is there being baptized. The dove, the Holy Spirit descends as a dove, and God the Father speaks from heaven. What a picture of the Trinity of we were talking about that yesterday. You know, here it is, the baptism, Jesus in the flesh saying, hey, baptize me, John. The Holy Spirit descending as a dove straight out of Scripture, and the Father speaking from heaven, this is my beloved Son in whom I'm well pleased. This really was a marker. This is the time Jesus is setting forth for 30 years. You know, yeah, he was there under Mary and Joseph, but now what he said at chapter and at 12 years old, I must be about my Father's business. Now, I don't think he waited these 18 years. I think he was about his Father's business in those days, but it was private. But now it's coming public, isn't it?
Amen. Amen. This is one of these clear depictions of the Trinity. Jesus says, you know, I'm doing this, allow it to happen, John, to fulfill all righteousness. when he had been baptized, Jesus came up immediately from the water, and behold, the heavens were opened to him, and he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and alighting upon him. And suddenly a voice came from heaven, "This is my beloved Son, in whom I'm well pleased." Verse 17, is the voice from heaven really the voice of God the Father? Of course it is, because the voice says, "This is my Son." If Jesus is the Son, then the voice designating that has to be the voice of God the Father. And of course, you've got the Holy Spirit like a dove. And I'm sure you've probably seen a painting of that. I know I've seen some beautiful art depicting this. Bert, this is amazing, and the ministry of the Savior has begun.
It is, and again, John the Baptist, let's look at it that. Let's not forget him. He is the one that's doing this. This is the very same child in the womb that leaped when Mary came with Jesus in her womb, and now he is baptizing the Lord Jesus. What a picture, what a great, great lesson we can learn as John the Baptist in saying, we've come to do your will. It's not about us. It's all about the one that we're coming to tell you about. Alex, we're still telling folks about Jesus. Well, we're going to take phone calls, 888-589-8840. Give us a call.
Right now, the voices in our culture are loud, but truth is often silent. And today, Preborn needs you to help speak that truth. Women facing unplanned pregnancies are often pressured to act quickly. Before they have time to pause, breathe, or hear the truth about life, dignity, and hope, but I refuse to be silent, and I'm asking you to join me. At Preborn Network Clinics, a woman is welcomed with compassion and given a free ultrasound. She sees the life growing inside her, often for the first time, and in that sacred moment, fear gives way to clarity. And she's offered something the abortion industry will never provide, the hope of Jesus Christ. This April, our goal is to have 11,000 gospel conversations in Preborn Network clinics, trusting God to bring the increase as we remain faithful to speak. You can help make that possible by sponsoring ultrasounds. Just $28 provides one ultrasound. $140 sponsors five ultrasounds for mothers in crisis. Every dollar helps save babies and share the good news of Jesus Christ. To donate, dial #250 and say the keyword baby. That's #250 baby. Or visit preborn.com/host. That's preborn.com/host.
No room for a king, no celebration and no ceremony. In that little town, no nobody will think. This is the story of the coming glory. Can you hear the prayers the people pray? See the skies begin to break when heaven and earth were face to face. Oh, how the world forever changed, for God is with us.
Welcome back to Exploring the Word, God with Us, the story of the coming of glory. Hey, the number is 888-589-8840, 888-589-8840, if you have a Bible question. And as we get ready for the calls, hey, let me encourage people, please pray. This Saturday evening in Myrtle Beach, South Carolina, myself and Eric Metaxas, and I was on a show with Eric earlier today. Oh my goodness, his book is called Revolution, The Birth of the Greatest Nation in the History of the World, and he's going to be giving a lecture. It's free. We're at a wonderful theater in really North Myrtle Beach, and listen, maybe you're in Wilmington or Raleigh or even up in Richmond, Virginia. It's not all that far. Come down. It is free, and there'll be open mic Q&A, and Bert, Eric is going to be talking about really how under George Whitefield and the Wesleys, it was really a revival and God's word that birthed Amen. The American Revolution and this free nation. And so, folks, this is all about revival. This Saturday, August 8th, 7 p.m., doors open at 6. Complete information on how you can hear Eric Metaxas in person is at alexmcfarland.com.
Okay. Well, let's go to the phone lines. And, Alex, where to first?
We're going to begin in Texas, Barry in Texas. Brother Barry, thanks for holding. Welcome to Exploring the Word.
Hi, thanks for taking my call. My question today is on Luke's Gospel, chapter 3, and the section starting at 23 and going through to 38, and that is the genealogy of Jesus. Now, in my ESV translation, this particular section is referred to as the genealogy of Jesus Christ. Now, what I'm a little confused about, it doesn't refer to Mary at all. It starts with Joseph and goes through to Adam. So basically, Mary's not mentioned as far as I can make out. So is, although Joseph was not the biological father, is it the fact that he was married to Mary, does that validate the fact that it's the genealogy of Jesus?
Alex, I would say yes. The question is, that's both I would say. Mary and Joseph, again, they're both Jewish. You could probably go down so far until you get to the very last, and their genealogy would be quite alike, would they not?
That they really would, and it's been noted that there in Luke chapter 3, it's really the lineage going all the way back to Adam through the family line of Mary, and then, of course, in Matthew, through the family line of Joseph. You know, it's been said that not only legally and by the dictates of the Mosaic Law, but spiritually, by virtue of being born of a virgin with no sin, Christ was qualified to be the Savior. And you know, the Bible says he is the Son of God. It also says more than 80 times he is the Son of Man, which is a title of deity from Daniel 7, 13 and 14. But I think about this, that by Jewish lineage, and the Jews were just very meticulous about family lineages, by every conceivable matrix, he was qualified to be the Savior, and those genealogical records are quite a part of that. Hey, Brent Austin, our producer, he gets a lot of correspondence. Brent, do you have a call or a question for us next?
I have a little bit of everything. First off, let me give you this. You know, we had Day of Prayer Tuesday, and Cindy had sent me a message about her son, Tori. Tuesday, they think he's going to be okay. They released him from the hospital.
Amen.
Simple
Amen.
As that.
Hey, so, let's have a prayer of thanksgiving. We always pray. Sometimes we don't do that. Father, I just thank you for that good news. I'm praying for Tori right now that you would strengthen him as he's being released. May he see how miraculous it is that he is able to go away and walk away, and I pray you'd be with his mother again. In Jesus' name, amen. We thank you.
Amen. Right, before I get to the question, I got one more thing.
Hey,
for
we'll
you.
Take it.
Stephen is a local fuel truck driver in Virginia, and he listens to you guys every day. He said, "You guys carry me through." So, hello to Stephen.
Hey, Jesus carries us through. Let me tell you, if we're carrying him through, it's Jesus, isn't it, Alex?
Amen. To God be the glory. To God be the glory. Hey, we've got a couple of lines open, and there is time. You'll get through if you call, if you've got a Bible question, 888-589-8840.
Alex, Brent has one more real quick for us.
Yeah, I finally got to the question, so let me get to that. This is from Bryn. Sent that on Facebook. She says, in regards to Matthew chapter 10, verse 1, the power that Christ gave his disciples to heal every disease and sickness, do we ourselves have that power to command our bodies to heal itself in Jesus' name, or was that power only for disciples?
That was not just for disciples ever. That was for that mission. They had a mission that they were going on. And Alex, God, and he gave them that, verifying the ministry of Jesus and their ministry that would come after that as well. We still have power, but it seems like spiritual gifts. You have some spiritual giftedness in some of those areas in our day. What would you say?
Well, you know, just how, like in Matthew 10, verse 20, Jesus told the disciples, you know, it is not you who speaks, but the Spirit of your Father who speaks in you. They didn't, first of all, they didn't have the power in and of themselves. It was power delegated to them from God. The other thing was, in the ability to do those miracles, the disciples, it validated them, and in so doing, validated Jesus. That Christ, the Son of God, even his ambassadors, had this power. Now, I believe in the spiritual gifts, and I believe the church has power, but in terms of being able to, quote, have the power to heal disease on command, I really think that was for Christ's disciples quickly and thoroughly authenticating his ministry right here on earth during that time period. Do you see that, Bert?
I do. The only time that I see that operating now is, again, in pioneer ministry areas. I've heard it, testimony, about when Christ is being introduced and they do not have the Word of God in their language. Again, you will see God, I believe, intervening in miraculous ways, in a tremendous way in those areas, Alex.
Amen.
And again, it is those areas. And that's the command. We're to take the gospel to all nations. But all nations do not have the Bible, even the book of John, which is always the first one they translate. They don't have that in their language. And so going in there, I believe God does verify through miraculous ways the power of Jesus Christ.
Let's go to Louisiana. Joe, thank you for holding. Welcome to Exploring the Word.
Hey, thank you for taking my call. Appreciate y'all so much.
Oh, thank you.
So I have two questions. One of them is in John. He talks about abiding in Christ and he will bear much fruit. Is he just meaning the fruit of the Spirit, or could it refer to souls as well, like winning souls for Christ?
The answer is yes to both. Go ahead, Alex.
Yeah, this is in John chapter 15. You know, we are to bear fruit in terms of, yes, being controlled by the Holy Spirit. And of course, Galatians 5, 22 and 23 talks about the fruit of the Spirit. A Christian is being fruitful when he's becoming more and more Christ-like, and that's called sanctification. But it's been Adrian Rogers, and it's time to quote Adrian Rogers, one of our heroes. He said that the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience. He said, but the fruit of a Christian is another Christian.
Amen.
Did you ever hear Dr. Adrian Rogers say that?
I did, and I so agree. And again, God's Holy Spirit in us. You remember what it says after Pentecost, and you shall be witnesses of me. Okay, That's the power of the Holy Spirit falling upon the church in that day, and us as believers and followers, the Holy Spirit baptizing us at the moment of salvation, the indwelling Holy Spirit. He brings in his power. Part of that power is, as you said, sanctification, the fruit of the Spirit. And then what does that produce, Alex? With all my heart, I think it does produce fruit of other believers, you know?
I got to tell y'all something. Look, in your heart, no matter who you are, pray and ask and say, Lord, help me to bring at least one person into salvation. Yeah. Angie's mother, I got to tell you this, Ann Lowe, L-O-W-E, that was Angie's maiden name. She's in heaven now. She died in 22, and I was very, very close to my mother-in-law. Bert, I don't know if I ever told you this. There was a couple, and they were Jehovah's Witnesses. And I remember maybe once I tried to invite them to church, completely unsuccessful. And they were well in their 60s, and they were into Jehovah's Witness. They didn't believe in the gospel as we do. Well, Ann Lowe, Angie's mother, invited them to church. She didn't know any apologetics, but she was just very nice to them, invited them. I bet you for a decade, Angie's mom invited this couple to church. They were probably near 70. They both got saved, the husband and the wife. They got so involved, and I mean they got real saved. They got in church. They were exemplary. They were the dearest Christian couple. They both eventually passed on. And I think about this. Not everybody can lead a Jehovah's Witness out of that and into salvation. And Angie's mother did that, not by eloquent words, just by being kind and being persistent. Amen. And that just reminds me, folks, the fruit of a Christian is another Christian. It doesn't matter who you are. If you're a born-again believer, God can work through you to bring sinners to Christ.
Amen. Thank you for that story, Alex. Where to next?
To God be the glory. Let's go to Arkansas. How about John in Arkansas? John, are you there?
Yes, sir. I'm here. I just want to tell you, man, I love you guys. What y'all do. Y'all are such an inspiration to me. I wanted to.
Okay.
You might be breaking up, brother.
I see what he wants. He wants us to pray in view of a pastor coming, a call to a pastor. I don't know if the pastor's on his way and wanting God's will to be done, or they're looking, Alex. I don't know.
Or was John thinking about he might be called to be a pastor? I don't know. Tell you what, John, try to call back if you could. Could we go to Clarita in Louisiana?
Clarita? Yes. Yeah. Thank you, Clarita. Go right ahead.
Clarita, are you there?
Yeah, this is Clarita. I've been listening to you guys for a long time. I want to tell you this. I got saved, was baptized at 13 years old, and we had to wait water for the 100 days. And we prayed at the noon hour and at the 6 p.m. hour, and the rain came, and all of us went under the water. When we came up out of the water, we were limped like rag dolls, and everybody was wondering what had happened to us. And my mom said, tell them y'all had the Holy Spirit upon y'all. So
amen.
When Jesus had the dove, he had the limpness of the Holy Spirit. And guess what? I still have the Holy Spirit.
Amen, Clarita. Well, keep it up, man. Serve the Lord. Serve the Lord with gladness. I believe she's got it, Alex.
Amen. Clarita, we rejoice. And that very same Holy Spirit, you're filling us with joy. And we give God all the glory for you and that wonderful testimony. Folks, see...
We got John back on the line. Alex, could we get
John,
that?
Are you there?
Let me get it real quick.
John from Arkansas.
Yeah, John, go ahead. We got a good voice. Yeah, go ahead now, brother.
Okay. I just I talked to y'all a couple of months ago about I'm pastoring a church. You have a call to talk. Hopefully pastor two churches right here in my local community. I've had the first interview, and today at 6 o'clock I'm going to preach to the committee. So I'm guessing it's like the second interview, and I'm just asking for y'all to be in prayer that God's will would be done, and that if this is what it's meant to be, that this second interview will turn into to more, and we can take one more step closer to hopefully me pastoring two churches here in this area.
Amen, John. Amen. I remember that, John. I'm glad you got back through. Alex, we need we're praying for John and those two churches.
Amen. Let me pray. Father, in the name of Jesus, bless my brother John. Give him power, give him clarity, give him unction and your words. And Lord, give him favor with this community. If it's your will, open this door and just let it be a glorious season of ministry and fruit for the gospel. And be with our brother. Let us hear a good report of how things go. And we commit this to you in Christ's name, I pray. Amen. Hey, Bert, another prayer request. I'll throw it to you. Our friend Gary Habermas, his wife Eileen has cancer. We were on the phone today. Not exactly good news about some reports. If you think about it, pray for the Habermases, please.
Thank you, Alex, for sharing that. thank you, everyone, for listening to Exploring the Word. Alex and I, we just want to say thank you from the bottom of our heart to be able to minister in the Word of God through Jesus Christ our Lord, the Holy Spirit giving us power. Thank you again for listening to Exploring the Word.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast may not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.